think I've preached about 30 sermons to you here in the last few months, and believe it or not, all of them are kind of manuscripted out. You couldn't read them, but I can. I write them out, and I'm pretty well online. Today, I'm going to take a little point of privilege and just talk to you a few minutes about welcoming a new pastor. Some of this will just be personals. A little of it might be subjective. I do think it's scriptural. We read where we have pastors, and the church is called to work with pastor and people, and that's a big part of what God's doing. So I don't know whether they're tips or whether they're encouragement or whether they're just going to be things you already know and you're just going to nod at me and we're going to go home. But I'll feel better taking this privilege with you to say a few things about that, because you are getting close. The calling of a pastor in the Baptist world is one of the strangest things. If you ran companies this way, or if the university ran this way, or whatever context you want to put that in, but it's the way Baptists do things. We are congregationalists, and there is nobody who tells us what to do. We meet as a group of people, and we decide as a Baptist church what is our mission, what will be our connections, what is our leadership style in the church, and what will our future be. We really decide those kinds of things together, and we certainly decide who we will call or not call as staff. Working in CBF role, I've had the opportunity to work with several churches calling pastor and staff because I'm about all the resource some of them had, and it was wonderful to go and meet in the early stages with search committees and to pray with committees during process when they would allow an outside voice to be a part of that. And I'm going to tell you, all these churches in Alabama do it differently. They all do. There's similarity in that the church elects a committee somehow. That committee may be as many as 15, which is larger than my first church in seminary. Or it could be as small as 7. And they meet, and they're given leeway to meet. The church understands that they need some confidentiality. It's not right for you to run up to them this morning and say, "Who you down to now, Mark? Can you give me any names? Who are you talking to now?" Of course not. You keep the confidentiality of those whose names are in front of you. You let them work. And then in a Baptist church, when it's healthy, when that committee comes back to you and says, "We have narrowed our choice down, and it is this one that we feel God is calling us to present to you to vote for your pastor." These are my words, not theirs. What I'm saying is, most of the time that committee's saying, "We've done what you've asked us to do, and we want you to vote yes. You've asked us to spend these hours and this time and to pray, and you've trusted us. And now, folk at First Baptist, at Auburn First Baptist, you are a smart people. You are an opinionated people. You are a great people." So smart people and opinionated people sometimes have to take breath when a committee report is brought and not analyze it to death, but to realize this is what we task them to do. And they are going in due diligence, and they are bringing this back to us. And in a healthy church, that's what happens. It seems to be happening here to me. This committee has been a delight. In my role as CBF person, I hear from people that would like to be the pastor of Auburn First Baptist Church, or at least think they do, or at least they're interested enough to ask, "Ronnie, what do you know about that church? I see you and Fisher are doing some preaching down there, and I'm open to a move right now," which is what happens in the pastoral world. "What do you know about Auburn First?" You've had no shortage of people who have been interested in you and who know about you. And this committee started in February, if my memory's right. I'm looking to some of them, but I think that's when you first began to meet. And here we are in midsummer, and they are down to a fairly short list. If I had to brag on one pastoral search committee in Alabama, boy, this is on the radio, I need to be careful. It would be you. It would be your process. This committee has stayed at work, has not strung this out forever. I've heard from people who were interested and got what we pastors call the Dear John letter, saying, thank you for applying. We're feeling directed in another direction, but thank you. I've heard from two or three of those folks that said, you know what? I think I missed a good one there because of the way the committee communicated. Straightforward, due time, prayerful process, and moving forward. I hope you'll take some time to affirm this committee and pray for them right now as they're at crunch time. This is how we call a pastor. Isn't it strange? Every church has a context when it's calling a pastor. I've only been in a handful of churches, but they were all different. And every context is different, and so is yours. The pastor that comes to Auburn First Baptist Church comes into a particular context with a great heritage at a crossroads looking to the future. And that church has certain things it does and certain things it doesn't want to do. That church has a personality. That church has a milieu. There's a big word for you. That church has a context. And the pastor comes from the outside into that context, and it's up to the church to decide, will we welcome him or her? Will we invite them into our context? And will we listen and allow them to lead us some as we think about our future? That's how we call a pastor. And they come and they unpack their books and they bring their family if they have one and they join the good community of Auburn, knowing you not most of the time. Your case is a little different because Auburn is known and you have so many people that come in and out of here. But most of the time, it's very much an unknown, and they unpack and they join you. And then here's what happens. It's exciting. There's a honeymoon that goes on. You nearly feed the new pastor to death the first month or two. Sometimes when the church is wise, they have an orientation for the new pastor. They don't just point her toward the office and say, well, there you are. Good luck. Let us know if you need anything. But they have a process where they train and teach and encourage. And this committee will do this. What does it mean to be at Auburn First Baptist Church? It's a little scary because it's change. You know, we don't change well. I'm not just speaking to people my age or older. I worked with college students for years and years and years, and I used to tease them about they were sometimes worse than old people about change. And I'm an old person, so I can say that. Everybody struggles a little bit with change. This will not be the same pastor that you have in your mind when you think of the pastor of Auburn First Baptist Church. Some of you are thinking way back. Some of you are thinking recently. And it doesn't matter. You can throw any name of anybody out there, and I can say to you, this will not be them. The change is a little scary. And in a healthy church, the church works together hard beyond the honeymoon where everybody's nice for a couple of months to embrace the changes that are inevitable when new pastor and people join up and say, honestly, what is it that God has for us to do now? And he does. There is always a next with God. That's the good news. You can apply that to death and resurrection. You can apply that to daily calling. No matter where we are, there is always a next with God. And that will be the joy and where the rubber hits the road when your new pastor gets here. What do you want to do about next here? Interesting for me to hear these various leaders do their story in church today and in other weeks. Almost, I've been here, I think I've heard eight of these or nine. Almost every one of them spoke of how they joined up with this church when they were a student at Auburn. What's next for you? This is the hardest age group of people for the church to reach right now that there is. I don't mean just Auburn First Baptist. I don't care what style, what flavor, what color your church happens to be. That 18 through 29-year-old is the church, is the problem that the church has reaching right now. They're not interested. What's next for you? Here you sit, and whether you see it that way, I sure do, you are in this amazing context. We don't have any churches in Alabama CBF life that sit in the context of a university like yours. Not one. Well, it has a context. It has a process. Let me close out by saying a few things about maybe the role of the pastor. That's something I do know something about. And, you know, the old saying, it takes one to know one. So maybe some of this I'm coming out of my own experiences. But let me at least run through a few moments with you with what pastors feel is their role and what I believe Auburn First Baptist needs to embrace as the role of the pastor. Not just that we have a pastor, what is it that we want them to do, and where do we see their role in our church? Preacher. Well, that's a given, isn't it? You will hear this person preach 40, 45, I hope not 50 times a year. I hope they get a break. But most of the year, you will hear them Sunday after Sunday. And this is what should happen as preacher. It should get better and sweeter each week as it goes. Not that they're going to ring your bell every week. I've told you before that I don't think that's what preaching is. There are some weeks you come and pray for others while I'm preaching. I may not be preaching about something that necessarily directly moves you that day, but it's scriptural and somebody in the body is dealing with it. So you may not feel like your preacher hits a home run every Sunday, but when that pastor is allowed to be in the community and sits with you at the funeral home, baptizes your children, watches them play ball at the ballpark, plays a little golf with you or has lunch after Sunday or visits you when you're having difficulties. It becomes a community. And that pastor is looking out in your eyes and does not see a group of 200 people and wants to be sure and project to the back. They're seeing people's names, faces, and lives that they know. Preaching should get sweeter as it goes if you'll allow it to with your pastor. Another role of the pastor, obviously, is teacher. There will be opportunities to teach, and you're looking for that. Administrator. We don't have CEOs in a good Baptist church. That's not what the pastor is. The pastor's not the king. The pastor's not the ruler. But you know, at the end of the day, there are times when the pastor needs to be able to administrate. If that's to give leadership to staff, if that's to give some leadership to the order of worship, it's to be able to make decisions to know that they're living out the mission and the central values of the church. So allow them to lead some. You don't want them to run off and leave you, and I understand that. But they also need to have some leadership space from you. And a pastor is a visionary. Now, who gives vision to the church? God. God gives vision to this church in this context with these people, and there's nobody else like it anywhere on the planet. This is unique. And God comes to this group of people and gives this group of people a mission. The pastor joins that mission, but also has a role where that pastor is constantly thinking about ways to be sure the church is on task with what God wants us to be. Not just doing stuff because we've always done it, or not just filling 20 minutes because I've got to preach on Sunday morning, or not just going through the motions. but continually communicating with the body about the vision and the purpose that God has called Auburn First Baptist Church to. And if you're not talking and thinking about that regularly, you won't know. It's a process. A couple of words in the Bible that I think help us understand, Pastor. They were words that were used to describe Jesus, prophet, priest, king. I'm going to leave the king out, though the pastor does have some leadership. Pastor won't be the king of Auburn First Baptist Church. I know that. The pastor will be a prophet. You can't rise to preach or to lead a church as their pastor without some space to be prophetic. And it's what sometimes gets pastors in trouble. When God is saying one thing and the church might not want to hear it, and the pastor has to go on and say it anyway, it's a healthy church that gets ready for that and realizes this is what we want our pastor to do. In a Baptist church, you're very fortunate. You don't have to always agree with what the pastor says to you. You have space and you have that priesthood of believer, but you don't want your pastor afraid to be a prophet in your congregation. It is often how God speaks to us. We don't like prophets most of the time. Most of my friends are not prophets. They get on my nerves. But we need them. We need that pastor to speak truth in love and to help us change and grow when we need to. But you also need a priest, don't you? That role in the Bible is very, very important. That pastor can often give blessing to things that are going on in your life or in the congregational life, or help the congregation join in blessing of others. The pastor listens to confessions, even in a Baptist church. Oh, all the time. The pastor gives care as priest when someone is wounded or angry or harmed. You want a pastor that's at the center of that priestly response. A few tips to remember about that calling and that role, and I'll close. When your pastor arrives into all this context with all of this responsibility and with what you want him or her to do, remember their humanity. Allow that pastor to be human. You will. You know what? Some churches don't. Some churches put them on a pedestal, or separate them from their real lives, or do not allow them to become friends or engaged in any way other than being a pastor. I already know that about you. You won't do that. Your pastor will have a personality, will have a name and a heritage, will have faults, and will need deep relationships like any other human being. I still resent being told in seminary 30-something years ago, pastors really cannot make friends in their congregation. Some of you, you know, it was said nicer than that, but that was the point. That's not true. I think a pastor has to be careful to not pick and choose. Pastor will be friends to anyone that wants to be, but you sure need to allow that pastor to build friendships and relationships among you, because they're unpacking and they want to be with you. How do you like to be criticized as a person? Wouldn't you just rather somebody come in and sit down and say it to your face? You know, I think pastors prefer that. I think this pastor does, and most I know would much rather someone well-intended come in, sit down, and quietly say, "Pastor, you talk too long. Pastor, whatever." Criticism is not healthy when it becomes a triangle. If you've got to tell somebody else that you criticize the pastor, I think you're kind of meeting your own need, aren't you, to be heard? If you need to tell the pastor, go and sit down as human being to human being. That always works best. Some of my best friends when I was a pastor were people that chewed me up and spit me out early in my contacts with them. But we talked about it, and we understood one another. Feed your pastor, but don't feed him to death with food. You will. Really, what you need to feed your pastor with is encouragement, especially the first 6 months. They can be my age or they can be 30, and they're still going to be scared to death the first 3 to 6 months of being in this church. They don't know you. They don't know where the landmines are. They don't know who they can trust or not trust. Are you with me? Encourage them. Talk to them. Love them. Guide them. Last 2 points. Physically, look after your pastor. Boy, pastors are not among the most physically healthy people on the planet. They need hobbies. They need space. They need good habits. They need exercise. They need friends. They need laughter. They need places to dump things that are bothering them as well. They need to be taken care of financially. And I'm looking you in the eye and saying that to you. They're highly trained, and they are expected to do much in the roles that I've just laid out for you. Do your best with them in that area. And last, spiritually. Your pastor needs to be taken care of spiritually because he or she spends most of their time taking care of others. Who preaches to them? Who teaches them? Who listens to their confessions? Who offers wise counsel to the pastor? Encourage that kind of spiritual growth in them. They need peer groups and time to meet with them. They need retreats every now and then. And yes, they will eat and play golf, but they will also spend time talking about their churches and their hurts and new directions they might like to follow spiritually. Embrace that. Encourage that. Allow your pastor to spiritually dream with you. Do not be afraid when the pastor stands and says, "I've been thinking about something that might be new for Auburn First Baptist Church." Well, some of you have been there and done that for years, and you might want to roll your eyes and go, "Here comes another idea." Catch a breath, pray for your pastor, and allow that pastor to dream with you, because it's out of that spiritual context that great change in things happen in the church. Well, let me close. I said to you one of my first Sundays here, that the interim time is a time for you to really be able to talk about these 5 things because they are the touchstones for a healthy church. And I hope you've been doing this. Pastors coming in to whatever conversations you've decided to have about these things, this is where they come. What is our heritage? What do we love about Auburn First Baptist Church that we want to hold on to? And what is really just old stuff we're afraid to change? What is our heritage? What do we keep? What do we need to leave behind now? What's our mission? It's not just coming to church and going home. What is our mission? What are the core values of that mission that we can all say in our church, this is who we are and what we do? How do people lead at First Baptist? Is it a church where the staff drives everything and we just follow along like sheep? I don't think so. I don't think that would go well at all at Auburn First Baptist. No. So let's be sure we communicate and talk often about our leadership in the church. Some of you have said to me, this interim has been a great time because I've had to step up and do more things around the church. Our committees have had to spend more time. I've had to have a different role. That's good news because that's what we're called to do. What are your connections here? Baptist churches can't be everything to everybody. We do specific things, we do them well, and we work with specific people to do them. Who are those people you work with, and what are those connections for you? And finally, the big one that your new pastor comes in, what is the future of this church? And how can they come join you to pray about that, work with that, dream and live into that, and even take a few bumps every now and then when it means some change? What is the future of this church? I think it could be bright. And I think you will be a big part of whether that plays out or not as you welcome your new pastor. Let's bow together for prayer. God, I thank you for this church. What a marvelous heritage. What a marvelous setting. What a bright future. I pray for those possibilities, and I pray for that one who even now is moving this way to join and be a part of that as pastor. We pray for this committee as they continue to discern and work toward your will in that. But I also pray for each member of this congregation who is called to also have a part in serving and leading in this church. In Christ's name we pray.